The time is 3:19 in the afternoon, and you are listening to K2 News. This is Cheryl Levitt-Snyder, host for A Juno Afternoon today. Joining me now in the studio is none other than Shona Strausser from Perseverance Theater. Hi, Shona.
Hi, Cheryl. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always great to have your sunshiny face in joining us here. So you are in to talk about the Perseverance Star program you have running. Tell us about it.
Well, STARS stands for the Summer Theater Arts Rendezvous, because you have to have an acronym. And it's for kids ages 10 to 18. And we've been doing this program for, this is now in its 26th year. So it's a Juno institution now. It's long and super fun. So it's about 50 kids in the program, usually around, kind of depending on. And we do three productions every year. This year we're doing Romeo and Juliet, you know, the classic tragedy. And we will actually cut it down a little bit for everybody's. And Pirates of Penzance Jr., which is a big, hairy musical. And we're also doing The Bailer at the Back of the Boat, which is a play written by local playwright Ishmael Hope.
So how do you pick the shows that you're going to have the kids perform? What do you think about?
You know, it's kind of interesting. I usually do a musical because there's just a kids love musicals. And Sea Alaska Heritage Institute for the last, well, geez, it must be for the last 8 or 9 years now, because it's actually how I came up to do a play for STAR, was through Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. They actually commission a playwright to do an education piece. So then they'll take this play and they use this play in different schools throughout the school year and even throughout Alaska.
Is that how Ishmael's play was
exactly
done? So he wrote this play specifically for children to perform?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, it's really fascinating because he's, you know, I've worked with Ishmael for a really long time now, and it's really amazing to kind of see his work just change and grow and develop over the years.
Well, and how do you do Shakespeare with kids?
Well, it has a lot to do about just kind of learning the basics of Shakespeare. You know, so iambic pentameter, learning a lot about rhythm and how you actually physicalize rhythm, because it's pretty tricky. You know, Shakespeare is hard, but it's also really, I mean, this play is so pertinent because it's about teens and it's about, you know, kind of the preteen going into the teen time. So it's actually a play written for students. So it's actually how do I translate this language to make it really, you know, applicable to you?
and how do the kids respond to the language of Shakespeare? You know, you're talking a little bit about the tempo and the timing, but just the words themselves can be difficult for anybody to understand.
Yeah, well, a lot of it just takes really breaking it down sentence by sentence, even word by word sometimes. So with kids, we, you know, usually get like a really, really good text that has a lot of footnotes in it already, you know, and then it's just about breaking it down word by word.
And do all of the kids perform in all of the shows, or do the kids audition and then you decide which show they're going to be in?
They actually, this young people, I love that about this program, is the young people actually get to choose. You know, so if they feel like, I really love Romeo and Juliet, great, do Romeo and Juliet. For the musical, you do ask them to do a singing audition, just so I know that they're going to be happy there, because, you know, sometimes it's like if you have a kid who sings, you know, beautifully, and then you have someone who feels a little less adequate. I don't want that to happen. So we do an audition for that. And then Bailer at the Back of the Boat, as far as kind of doing those kinds of shows, there's a lot of Tlingit students that do that piece, but then there's a lot of, you know, non-Alaska Native students that participate in that show too. And it's a lot about people who are really connected to this land, Juno, you know.
Great. So it's a 5-week program. How are the days structured so that you can manage all of these kids is it 5 hours a day?
It is 5 hours a day. And at 1 p.m. every day we start, and we have all the kids together with all the instructors. So we actually, you know, there's at least 9 instructors involved in this program. So it's pretty, you know, there's always somebody there there's always lots of people there, really, to make sure that it's fun and safe and actually a true artistic environment. That's what I really appreciate. It's not for kids who want to come have a babysitting experience or for parents in that regard also. It's definitely for people who want an in-depth theater experience, without being too scary, because it's summer still. Mm-hmm. So from one to two, we all work together as a big group. We do skills building. So we'll do voice, we'll do physical stuff, we'll do drama games, you know, just because those are fun, get to know you things. And then we go into rehearsals. We break out into different rooms on the UAS campus, and we'd rehearse from 2 to 5 every day.
So who are the instructors for the program?
Well, for this year, Dawn Colden, she's a local, and she will be doing the musical because she's great at musicals with kids. So she'll do Pirates of Penzance Jr. Donnie Gott is doing Romeo and Juliet, which I'm really, really excited.
She seems like she'd be perfect for that.
Both
of them
totally perfect.
Match up well.
Yes.
Yeah, it's great.
Yes. And I'm actually kind of still working on the Baylor at the Back of the Boat instructor. I have a couple of people that I'm working with, and something that's really important, there's a lot of Tlingit in the play, so I want to make sure that that instructor is both great with kids and also has some fluency with the language.
So what are you hoping the kids who go through this program walk away from the experience with?
A fun summer, a really good time, good friends, and just some confidence on stage. And maybe if it's not on stage, that maybe it's through classes and just kind of learning how to speak up and speak out.
Okay. And do you guys offer any sort of financial aid for families who would like to be involved but might not have the full tuition readily
totally.
Available?
So Sea Alaska Heritage Institute actually provides full scholarships for Alaska Native students. And that said, for students who are not Alaska Native, I will never turn anybody away. So if they're wanting to come participate, we can definitely work something out for anybody, because it's just, I don't want that to be a inhibitor.
And hindrance, yeah. Great. Okay, is there anything else about the program you'd like to share?
No, it's just a lot of fun, and the registration is happening right now, and we're getting pretty full. So if you have, you know, if you're thinking about it, the time is nigh.
Sign on up. Don't procrastinate.
Yeah.
Now, one other quick thing then. I did just get an email from Perseverance Theater about a grant opportunity you might have. It's do you want to talk about that? Real quick, do you know much about it? I just thought I got an email. It's on the center of your website about this opportunity for Perseverance to be chosen one of, I think it's 5 nonprofits around the state who will get a $5,000 grant if they are selected as a top nonprofit.
Yes, and you have to go and vote, and I think you can do it daily. And, you know, I actually just got back to town today, and happened
so
like 2 days ago.
Okay.
I wish I was more versed in what that is.
Well, let's just tell people, go to the Perseverance Theater website. You can find out more about the STAR program.
Definitely.
You can also have the opportunity from the website to vote for Perseverance as a nonprofit in the state deserving of $5,000 to do something awesome with.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Okay, terrific. Well, Shona, thank you so much. It sounds like you guys are going to have a great camp this summer.
Yeah, thank you.
And again, remember, if you are hoping to have your child signed up in it, now is the time to do it.
Great. Thanks, Cheryl.
Okay, thanks, Shona. Yeah.
life can truly be. Shining star for you to see what your life can truly be.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 20th of June, 2012. It was on this date in 1837, the 18-year-old Alexandrina Victoria became Queen of England. She was known to her family as Drina. She'd had a quiet childhood, well-educated in music and history and foreign languages, living well-protected at Kensington Palace in London. She was fifth in line for the throne behind her uncles and her father, but one by one they all died. And on this day in 1837, she got the news that she was now the queen. Queen Victoria reigned for 63 years. It's the 60th birthday of the novelist Vikram Seth, born in Calcutta, 1952, author of A Suitable Boy, one of the longest single-volume works of fiction in the English language, about 500 pages in paperback. The sequel, A Suitable Girl, is supposed to be published sometime next year. It was on this date in 1840 Samuel Morse got a patent for his Morse code system. He was a painter. He'd studied photography with Louis Daguerre in France, opened a photographic studio in New York City. Morse had the idea that electromagnetic current could actually move a pencil along a moving strip of paper. It was his assistant, Alfred Vail, who came up with the dot and dash code. So it should be known as Vail code, but Morse was the better known of them, and he was the boss, so it's called Morse code. Here's a poem for today by Glenn Shea, entitled The Flowering. I love to imagine London, fallen, quiet, silent, really, just past the toll of 12, walking past the white bulk of St. Paul's or by the steps of Paternoster Square, not of the panicked silences of nights of the Blitz, but merely unpeopled streets, London, asleep, lit bright by the moon, quiet as the pond and woods behind our house. I stroll down Fleet Street in my dreaming to peer in the dark alleys and entries that lead to the Inns of Court. A stray dog may stroll by, but of even the police I hear no more than their echoing talk. Up the curl of Good Street I lay my hand flat in affection on the stout black door of Johnson's house. And as in my night the church is lit, I enter the sadness of St. Dunstan's, its silences like the streets outside. In the short night of a poem, I reach Trafalgar Square, still lit like an etching by the moon, unpeopled yet even by lovers. Then pale dawn edges up, and people appear, morning-eyed, stepping from their dreams to speech. And like them, I take coffee in the crypt below St. Martin's. I watch them, the creatures of a city I have dreamed, the flowering of an ache to be at home and there. And they vanish up the bustle of Charing Cross or past the fruit market of Villiers Street. They vanish as I start awake to other thoughts or fall past them in the peace of dreaming. The Flowering by Glenn Shea from Find a Place That Could Pass for Home, published by Salmon Poetry and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, celebrating 100 years of discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. And by Goddard College, offering low residency education for adult learners since 1963. Now offering both bachelor's and master's degrees in Port Townsend and Seattle, Washington. Learn more at goddard.edu. Edited by Noah Smith, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
You are listening to K2 News in Juneau, where the time is 3:35, and this is the program, A Juneau Afternoon. Joining me in the studio now is Betsy Longenbaugh and Pam Finley. They are from the Holy Trinity Episcopal Church, and they are here to talk about two events they have coming up this Saturday, a plant sale in the morning and two teas in the afternoon. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Sure
Glad
thing.
To be here.
So, Pam, why don't we start with you? Why don't you tell us about the plant sale happening in the morning?
The plant sale is both a plant and a bake sale, so we'll have goodies, too. It starts at 9 and goes to noon. We have chives and mint and dianthus, also known as pinks, iris, rhubarb, raspberry plants, saxifrage, daylilies, some dwarf cherry tomatoes, an artichoke plant. There's going to be a donation from Glacier Gardens, too. Lots of things. Some of these have been raised by people over the spring, and some have been dug up from our gardens, especially the perennials and the raspberry bushes. Lots of plants for
now, is this a fundraiser that you do every year?
Yes, it is a fundraiser.
So people know that this is gotta go to this sale?
It's gotta go, yes. You've gotta go, and you've gotta come eat your goodies. We're also gonna have some gluten-free goodies, because I always have friends who need gluten-free things who say, well, you don't have anything for me, so we're going to have something for you. Come and eat it. And can buy some plants, too. Yes, it is a fundraiser. Holy Trinity's tried to be pretty active in doing fundraising. Part of that is to benefit the church and its budget, and part of it is just I think it's a good way of staying involved in the community. Fundraisers should never be just about the money. They should be about the fun, too.
Yeah, and the community that comes together something great. Yeah. So all of the plant varieties that you were listing, you were saying they've come from various individuals in the community, mm-hmm. been growing them, and you got some donations from some stores in town?
Yes, one from Glacier Gardens that I know of. There may be others, because I really haven't been as much in charge of the plants as Susan Pollard, really, actually, but I was the one who could come, so.
Okay, and what time does the plant sale start?
It starts at 9.
Okay, and it goes until?
Till noon.
And where is it?
It'll be in the parking lot that's right next to McFeeters Hall. If you go to 4th and Gold and then walk down Gold Street, you'll come to it.
Okay, terrific. And then in the afternoon, why don't you tell us about what's happening in the afternoon, Betsy? Sounds like a continuation of the fun.
It is really going to be fun. We did this. We've done it on and off, I guess, had teas at Holy Trinity for some years. Holy Trinity as an Episcopal church is related to the Anglican Church, which is, of course, Great Britain. And when we think of Britain, a lot of times we think about tea. I certainly do. So last year we had one in our new church, our new space, and it was just absolutely lovely. And we're delighted to be able to do it again this year. So we'll have two seatings, one at 2 and one at 4. And for $15, you can come and have, and the menu's extensive. We're going to have a cream tea this year, which means you have whipped cream on your scone with raspberry jam.
Lovely.
So we're going to have scones. We're going to have three kinds of sandwiches, a coronation chicken, which is a curried chicken salad, cucumbers, of course, and an egg salad. And then we're going to have a variety of desserts and some fresh fruit. And, of course, tea, which is being donated by Rainbow Foods. So
who's doing all of the cooking for this fabulous feast?
A lot of us are participating with the scones in particular. And then the rest of it, I'm doing most of that, like the other baking. And Pam mentioned gluten-free, and we will be offering gluten-free alternatives even for the tea. Somebody said having gluten-free at a tea is sort of like having a vegetarian pork roast, but but we were able to come up with gluten-free alternatives for everything.
Well, so I'm sure there will be many people who appreciate that.
And Tom Locher will be playing the piano
yes.
for those teas,
yes.
which will make it especially pleasant. I know it's going to be a sunny day, or I'm told it's going to be a sunny day, but if you want to go out from your hike, just come back in your hiking shorts and your boots and come and have some nice tea.
Yeah, very refreshing. The cup that refreshes, right?
The cup that refreshes. Plus a lot of food after you've worked off all those calories.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, Pam had mentioned the role that Holy Trinity plays as a community gathering place. When we were looking at rebuilding the church, one of the things we did was talk to neighbors in the area about what they saw as the church providing to the community. And so when we do these events, whether it's a plant sale or a tea or a rummage sale, whatever it is we do, we're very aware of the fact that we are a community gathering place, especially for the downtown neighborhood. So I would really encourage folks downtown to think of this as your activity and not just, of course, a Holy Trinity event.
And do you know if the funds raised on Saturday are going towards a specific project, or is it going to general operating?
It'll probably go to general operating because we have to pay for the lights and the heat and the janitors and things for McFeeters and for the whole building. But we do have kind of a plan starting to bubble to completely finish the kitchen. And so some money may go to that. Ultimately, the vestry will decide where it exactly goes. We just raise it and they spend it. But there are other fundraising events coming up. We can mention them as long as we're here. There'll be a rummage sale in mid-August. And then we're going to have a big fundraiser pretty much focused on McFeeters Hall over Labor Day. For performances and such.
So we'll have to have you back in on so you can talk about those in a little bit more in depth as we get closer.
Right.
So how important are these fundraising events to your overall budget?
I think I was trying to think of what they were, and I'm not positive it wouldn't be held to this, but I think it's at, 10 to 15% of our overall budget. It comes from the various fundraisings. There's the tea, there's the Christmas Bazaar, which is big, the big fundraiser for McFeeters, things like that. They're probably six of them were sprinkled over the year.
Okay, so it's an important day you have coming up.
Yes.
What you're saying.
Yes.
And, I forgot. I don't even think Pam knows this because it just kind of came together this week. But we are, again going to have a silent auction for the mustard seed, which is our little secondhand shop there at the church. Mm-hmm. And they have been able to find some donations of bone china and some tea-related things that we're going to be having as a silent auction, which we did last year and was really fun and very successful. We actually had a teacup with the Alaska state flag in the bottom, bone china. I've never seen anything like it. And the most valuable one, as it turns out when we did the research, was the one starring Prince Charles and Di.
Yes. And I think, it's just as we're sitting here, I think I will donate my red hat with the big brim that my husband hates.
But some other husband might love.
Some other husband might love. So there'll be a red hat also.
Nice.
Terrific. Okay, well, do you want to run down again what the events are and the timing and where for Saturday?
Sure. Yes. It's both events are either at McFeeters Hall or the parking lot right next to it, and that is at sort of 4th at Gold and then down to 3rd and Gold. So if you go to 4th and Gold, go down the hill, you'll be at 3rd and Gold. In the morning from 9 to noon is the plant sale and the bake sale. And then the teas are at a sitting at 2 and a sitting at 4. You can also get tickets ahead of time or make reservations for things like gluten-free and things like that by calling the church at 586-3532. And you can go to the website, trinityjuno.org, for more information on it. The church office is open from Monday through Friday from noon to 3 if you want to go there and pick up tickets. You get a discount on the tickets for the tea if you buy a table, which is to say 6 of them. And then you can go with all your friends and sit together. So.
Okay, sounds terrific. Did we miss any details? Is there anything else you wanted to share?
I don't think so, other than I think it's going to be a fun event.
Okay, yeah. Great. So again, these are all fundraisers for the Holy Trinity Episcopal Church. Betsy Longenbaugh and Pam Finley, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And good luck on Saturday. I wish you a very successful fundraiser.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having us.
My neighbor, welcome again to this neighborhood. I'd like to show you something. What this is? Maybe if I press this button. This is a cassette player with a little cassette in here, and there's nothing written on it, so we'll just have to play it to see what it is. Do you ever imagine things? Are they scary things? Are they scary things? Do you ever imagine things? Things you'd like to have? Did you ever see a cat's eyes in the dark? And wonder what they were. What they were. Did you ever pretend about things like that before?
Did you ever pretend about things like that?
Did you ever grow anything in the garden of your mind?
In the garden of your mind.
You can grow ideas in the garden of your mind.
In the garden of your mind.
It's good to be curious about many things. You can think about things and make believe. All you have to do is think and they'll grow. Imagine every person that you see is somewhat different, from every other person in the world. Some can do some things, some can do others. Did you ever think of the many things you've learned to do? Did you ever grow anything in the garden of your mind? You can grow ideas in the garden of your mind. It's good to be curious about many things. You can think about things and make believe. All you have to do is think and they'll grow. Did you feel like going like that? Let's give the fish some food. Mr. McFeely, I didn't order any whistles.
That's what they call a slide whistle.
There are so many things to learn about in this world, and so many people who can help us learn, Did you ever grow anything in the garden of your mind? You can grow ideas in the garden of your mind. It's good to be curious about many things. You can think about things and make believe. All you have to do is think. You can think about things and make believe. All you have to do is think, and they'll grow.
All right, well, I had to play that in honor of the plant sale happening Saturday. That was Garden of Your Mind. It's a remix of Mr. Rogers, which just in this last week has been getting a ton of YouTube hits and internet play. So there you have it. You can check it out. PBS, it's a PBS product, so you can go to pbs.org and if you want to listen to it again. Well, this is Cheryl Levitt-Snyder. It is 3:45 in the afternoon, and we have our final guest for the program now in the studio. I'd like to welcome Jody Weber of Weber Dance Company and Philip Crowder, who is the artistic director of Juno Dance Unlimited.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. So, Jody, you've been here for 3 weeks now from Boston. Why don't you tell us about what you've been doing here?
Sure. We got here on June 4th, and we have been working with two groups of students. We've been working with some students at the arts camp in the morning, and then we've been working out at Juno Dance Unlimited from 1:30 in the afternoon all the way through to about 9 o'clock with ages 9-year-olds all the way through adults.
Can you share with us about your dance company? What is the Weber Dance Company?
Sure. We're a Boston-based dance company. We are six women, and we perform contemporary works. So our work are really about thematic ideas that pertain to our contemporary world, and we are going to be sharing one of those pieces here in Juno. We're very excited about it.
How did you get connected with Juno?
Well, one of our dancers, Becca Roselle, was born and raised here in Juno, and she connected us to this community some years ago, and she's here teaching with us and will be performing with us. Just a wonderful, wonderful teacher and dancer. And so it's been great fun getting to know her community.
Any surprises about working with the dancers here in Juno?
Well, Juno Dance Unlimited is just a wonderful, wonderful organization for dance. They're really doing high quality work. And so it's very exciting for us to come into their organization and add what we're doing in contemporary dance. We're also teaching composition courses. So we're teaching the children and teens and adults how to make dances and about the language of dance.
Sounds really exciting. And who was invited to participate in these workshops these last weeks? How did people know to participate?
Well, we advertise it early on in our season, and also they've been coming here now for 5 years, so they have quite a reputation here in Juno, and a lot of dance lovers and people pursuing the knowledge of dance and wanting to be trained in dance come to the workshop, and we're just so thrilled to have them here. They're doing a wonderful job, and the children learn so much.
So what can we expect if we go to tomorrow night's performance? What will we be seeing?
Sure. So you'll be seeing some works done by the students who've been working with us the last 3 weeks. We have two pieces that the teen through adult group will be sharing. And then we have a third that the younger group, the 9 to 12-year-olds, will be sharing. And then Weber Dance will be performing a piece called Synchronicity and the Sacred Space. We're very excited to share it here in Juneau. It has 7 sections of dance, and it has 7 sections of storytelling that will be performed live by John Turk, who is an expedition sea kayaker. And so his stories pertain to his travels between Japan and Alaska, which he kayaked.
So when did you put this piece together? Is this a recent creation?
It is. It actually was a 2-year project in process, and it premiered in Boston in late fall of 2011. And what was really touching about our premiere and our connection to this community is at our first performance in Boston, we had 6 members of the Juneau community in the audience. So that was just really wonderful for us.
Yeah, very special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'd like to tell the listeners that the performance is tomorrow night, Thursday, June 21st at 7 p.m. at the Thunder Mountain High School Auditorium. Tickets are $12 for adults and $8 for seniors, students, and youth. Again, that's tomorrow night, Thursday, June 21st at 7 p.m. at Thunder Mountain High School Auditorium, $12 and $8.
Okay, and how do people purchase tickets in advance?
Oh, yes. Tickets are available at the Jack, Hearthside Books, or online at thejack.org or at the door. Also, they can go to junodance.org, our website, for more information on the performance. And also, they can call 463-5327-LEAP. That is our telephone number.
Terrific. Well, beyond tomorrow night's performance, what other things does JDU have lined up in the coming months?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. JDU is going to do a fine arts camp extension, an extension of the camp that we've already getting ready to complete with these performances. It's going to be at the JDU studio. It's going to be July 2nd through August 10th. That's ages 4 through 11. And that's going to be our fine arts camp extension. We're offering, you know, art classes, theater classes, music classes. Again, you know, contact junodance.org or call 463-5327-LEAP. And that is going to be July 2nd through August 10th, and that'll be for ages 4 through 11. We also are offering ballet classes, our regular ballet class schedule, July 2nd through August 17th at the JDU studio. And we're going to be offering a creative movement for ages 3 to 5, studies in movement, ages 4 to 7, beginner and intermediate ballet, ballet 1 and 2, ballet intermediate and advanced, that's ballet 3 and 4, and that's for ages 8 through adult. So we were really busy at the studio this summer.
Yeah, it sounds like the way that you have your classes structured, a wide range of ages and abilities and levels can participate in one way or another.
Yes, everybody's welcome. Yes, everybody's welcome to come and learn how to dance.
Now, of course, when you have young children learning to dance, there's a lot of beginner classes. But for adults, are there beginner classes for adults in some of these disciplines?
Well, yes, we do. We have a special ballet class. It's called Ballet 1-2, but that's really for beginners and intermediate dancers, people who want to come in and learn ballet for the first time or who've taken ballet before and want to get back into it. That's open class for different ages. You know, that's for the people who want to just find out whether they like ballet or not, see if they want to get into dancing. And so all those people are welcome to come take that class.
And what sort of opportunities are there for people who've been dancing their whole life and are looking for a community that they can dance with?
Oh, they're certainly welcome too at JDU. We have advanced classes. They can participate in performances that we do every year. We have our Nutcracker performance. We're always looking for new performers for that. We have our spring shows and concerts and other collaborations we do throughout the year. So all experienced dancers are welcome to come to JDU. And, you know, occasionally we get somebody new that comes in, moves into town, you know, and it's always wonderful to have new people there.
Terrific. Yeah. So tomorrow night's performance again, can you tell us about the show, the times, where they can get tickets? And
yes. It's going to be Thursday night, June 21st at 7 p.m., Thunder Mountain High School Auditorium. Tickets are available at the Jack, Hearthside Books, or online at jack.org. Or you can get them at the door the night of the performance. You can also go to our website, junodance.org, or call 463-5327-LEAP. And again, that's Boston, Weber Dance Company. And it's going to be a wonderful performance. I hope everybody comes out to see it.
Okay. And Jody, anything else you'd like to share about your dance company or tomorrow night's performance?
Well, as I said before, I'm really excited for this particular performance because I think the storytelling adds a whole different element. And so I know we have a lot of dance lovers in that community. I hope to see all of them. But if you're curious, I think the storytelling is really going to be an exciting component. And I encourage you to come out and give that a shot and enjoy the evening.
Well, it sounds like you guys have put together a terrific night. So, all right. Well, thank you both of you for coming in.
And, thank you so much.
Good luck with the performance tomorrow night. Or am I supposed to say break a leg? Or what do you say to dancers?
You could say that.
Yeah. But you definitely don't want to.
Yeah, you don't want to say good luck, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, regardless, I'm sure it's going to be a great night. So thank you, too, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.